Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Keep Tahoe Blue is a slogan heard across the Sierra Nevada. The beloved lake is known for its clear and blue water, which features the country's second deepest lake depth behind Crater Lake in Oregon. But for years, environmental and community stakeholders have been sounding the alarm about the lake's declining health. Last year, the UC Davis Tahoe Environmental Research Center released a State of the Lake report highlighting the challenges that are facing the lake, which includes zooplankton decline and algae blooms. But this year comes with some pretty good news. The center just released its new annual report showing the lake's clarity is at a level not seen since the 1980s, with more than 10 feet of increased clarity. Jeffrey Schlatto is the director of the UC Davis Tahoe Environmental Research Center. Welcome back, Jeffrey. Some good news this morning.
Yeah, thank you, Vicky. Good news is always welcome. Has to be tempered with the fact that we're not sure how long this is going to last, but yeah. It's good today.
How do you measure the lake depth, the clarity?
Well, lots of ways, but the simplest and the one we have the longest record for is using something called a Secchi disc. It's a 10-inch white disc. It's lowered into the lake, usually around midday, and what we record is how far into the lake we can see it.
Is it the same location each year for this report?
Well, we actually use two locations, but we report from the same location where we take the most measurements from.
So why is the clarity some of the best it's been since the 1980s for decades?
Well, probably the simplest way to explain it is to say biologically the lake is closer to what it was in the 60s and 70s and 80s than it's ever been since that time.
Is this just something that was kind of a 180 from one year to the next, or is this due to some changes in recent years that contributed to this clarity?
Well, we saw the signs coming. So even last year, when clarity wasn't all that good, we noticed changes in the food web. We noticed that certain shrimp that had been introduced in the lake in the 1960s had suddenly disappeared. And based on our previous observations, we could predict, use that word in inverted commas, that lake clarity would improve this year. And thankfully, it did.
Yeah, you talk about shrimp. There's also zooplankton. So what were the main ingredients for both of these populations to recover?
Well, with the shrimp, introduced in the 1960s, they actually preyed upon this particular zooplankton. So let's call it Daphnia. And the Daphnia are very aggressive at removing very fine particles and very small algae from the lake. So when the Mysa shrimp were introduced, they preyed on the Daphnia, they disappeared, and we started to have a buildup of fine particles in the lake. Last year, when the Mysa shrimp disappeared, this gave an opening for the Daphnia to return and continue doing what they had been doing half a century ago.
This also follows, a pretty robust and powerful winter season, lots of snow and rain. Did that have any impact on the clarity of the lake?
Well, the report follows that, but the data we're talking about preceded it. So this is data for 2022. But you're right, we have this huge snowpack. It's started melting, finally, and it is going to have an impact. Big snowpacks usually bring in lots of sediment, lots of nutrients, so it's going to be an incredible opportunity to see how the physical responses of the watershed compare with these biological cleaners of the lake.
So it will impact the lake's clarity, but you just don't know in what way. Will it benefit the lake's clarity or will it be a detriment?
Well, it will initially be a detriment because of what it's bringing in. But in some ways, it's part of a natural cycle. And the Daphnia, now that they're there, have for tens of thousands of years been in the lake. And this is what they do best, is responding to inputs of nutrients and the algae that form with these nutrients.
Yeah, and there's just a lot of various stakeholders and people who care about the lake that go into this. It isn't simple. They're simple questions. The answers are more complicated. But your report highlighted that more than, I believe, 500,000 pounds of fine sediment and other clarity-harming pollutants are being kept out of the lake through roadway maintenance and erosion control projects. Was that pretty instrumental in the lake's improving clarity?
Well, it's certainly important, and nobody's going to say we shouldn't be doing those things. But for the last 20 years, despite all those efforts, Lake Clarity had been pretty flat. It hadn't changed until starting in about July or August of 2022. It had this almost step jump by 10 to 20 feet of improvement, and that coincided with the return of the Daphnia.
Are there certain parts of Lake Tahoe that have better clarity compared to other shores of the lake?
Not really. So the lake, even though you go there and it looks sort of still and blue and resplendent in the light, it actually moves a lot. So things are moving around horizontally there. So certainly in the deep parts, it's all pretty much the same.
Hmm. When it comes to other species that benefit from the lake, there's kokanee salmon, and they're expected, I believe, to be larger in 2023 because of their food source. It's just more abundant in the lake. Are these salmon a good barometer of the health of the lake?
Well, we think they are. A similar, smaller event, a clarity event, happened about 10 years ago just in Emerald Bay, and we noticed then that within a year, kokanee got a whole lot larger. There was a new state record set, the first state record since the Mysa shrimp were introduced. So we're expecting to see the similar occurrence, but now lake-wide this time. And it is a barometer. And the Daphnia will also feed the very small fish that feed the larger fish. So it's good all around.
Yeah. I mean, you led with cautious optimism, right? Because there's still things to be worried about. Last year, there was concern over algae blooms. Should we still be worried about these blooms and the impact it could have on the lake's clarity?
Yeah, well, the algal blooms last year were mainly in the near shore, so on the beaches, things, places like that. And yeah, that still is a current present worry. It's sort of unknown at this point what impact the snow melt will have on that. That's a really big unknown, and that's something we're monitoring as well. But I think in many ways the condition of the beaches and the near shore is different than the clarity in the middle of the lake. Whether there are linkages, again, one of these things we're looking at.
Yeah. You joined us last year. There was your reports are annual from Turk and at UC Davis. What do you find still exciting about studying Lake Tahoe throughout the years?
Well, this last year in particular, it has been exciting and fascinating that, after coming in here, reporting to you and others that, yeah, for the last 20 years, 1 year was 2 foot better, 1 year was 2 foot worse. These incremental changes with no long-term trend, it's sort of, yeah, the excitement was starting to fade. But suddenly when in 1 year you get 10 and 20-foot changes sustained over 5 months, and then I probably shouldn't say this, but we're continuing to measure the clarity now. And in the first 3.5 months of this year, it's continuing. So if I'm invited back next year, it looks currently like it'll be another great year.
You're already invited back next year, Jeffrey. We love these annual reports. We're having this conversation. The temperatures are getting warmer. We're rounding the corner. We're already in spring and the summer. Humans are an important piece of this puzzle. What do you want humans to take, like us, just the general public who want to recreate and enjoy the lake? What do you want them to take away from the report?
Well, first and foremost, it's incredibly clear now. It's incredibly blue. Go up there and look at it. It'll stay like that, we believe, for at least a year, maybe two, and then it's going to go right back to where it was. What I would like other people who have the position to actually impact what's done at Lake Tahoe, to work with us to say, how can we use these observations? How can we use this idea of the food web impacting the clarity to maybe adapt management strategies. Let's use it rather than just observe it and say that was great. Let's build it into our management practices.
Yeah. What conversations are being had following this report? I know it's promising. It's good news. But what is it sparking among, you know, people who actually not only have a vested interest, but could actually have an impact on the lake's health?
Well, for many years, funding has always been short for monitoring. And we recognize that it's the same everywhere. But I think the monitoring of zooplankton has now been recognized as being something that was missing. We were able to do this because we had supporters who were interested in it. Now, the various agencies are recognizing, yep, it is important. It does need to be monitored. So I think it's going to open up a new area of endeavor for all of us up there with hopefully great results.
Well, Jeffrey, as always, thanks for the time. We learn a lot from you.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure to be here, Vicky.
Jeffrey Schlatto is the director of the Tahoe Environmental Research Center at UC Davis, providing more details on this year's State of the Lake report at Tahoe, finding the lake's clarity is the best that it's been in decades. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Chris Feltz. Our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. And I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Monday. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.